Welcome to the Ditch That Textbook podcast, a daily show to equip, inform, and inspire educators to teach with less reliance on the textbook through technology, creativity, and innovation. I'm your host, Matt Miller. Let's get started. This is episode 50 of the Ditch That Textbook podcast, a member of the Education Podcast Network. I am coming to you today from the Ditch That Textbook World headquarters here at my house in West Central Indiana. And I am super excited to have a guest with me today that I get to introduce you to. We've got Rachel Mann on the show, and we're going to be talking about a topic that I know is super, super popular right now, and probably something that you're hopefully something that you're interested in. So Rachel, can you start out and tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, sure. This is Rachel Mann. I'm in my headquarters for Teach Like TED in Phoenix, Arizona, at my house. And so Teach Like TED, it started out as a presentation. I was looking for ways to help a group of state officers learn how to speak in public. And I wanted it to be different than how I learned to speak in public, which was learning how to write speeches and then read the speeches. And it was kind of terrifying. And it was something that I just wanted to look at something a little bit different. How can you really engage with your audience? And so I started out teaching them and using TED Talks as a model. We would look at TED Talks, watch them, pick out what made talks effective, and then look at ways to incorporate that into our public speaking. And as I saw my students transform and saw my own public speaking improve, I decided to do my first national presentation on the topic, which was also terrifying, but really exciting too, because it was well received. And the more, you know, I kept getting asked to do this presentation and realized there was a need for this, that people want to share their ideas. They want to be effective communicators, and they want something that's not stuffy, that's not your traditional way of speaking in public. So it's something that eventually I had turned into a company, and last January started doing this as a full-time gig, and it's just been really exciting to see how it's evolved.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And it's such an important topic, and one that I know a lot of folks are thinking about. You know, there's that term student voice that a lot of people use. And I think that, you know, sometimes, and we were chatting about this a little bit off air, sometimes whenever you hear the word student voice, it's easy for teachers to turn and think about the digital tools that they have associated with student voice. But really, when you get down to the heart of it, it's about empowering kids to express what's in their heart and in their minds. And that's not always necessarily like inherently easy. I don't think that's something that kids are born with or that they can just go figure out real easily. What do you think, Rachel?
Oh, absolutely. And it's such an important skill to be able to talk one-on-one or talk in front of a group, not just that global collaboration piece, which is so, so important. But I think that we sometimes forget about the communication piece, that when you're talking to people that are around you. Business and industry identify that as one of the number one skills that they want students to have when they come into the workplace. And in fact, even Warren Buffett, when he was asked what advice he would give to young people today in order to be successful, he didn't talk about investments. He didn't talk about the education side of finance. Instead, he said that they needed to learn how to communicate and that they needed to be able to share their ideas. That was like the number one skill that he felt that young people should hone in on. And it's something that really we sometimes think when we see other people who are amazing public speakers, oh, it comes naturally to them and it's just not something I'm good at. But no, people work to become effective at speaking in public, just like any other skill that you have. When you see someone like Steve Jobs, who was considered one of the best public speakers, he was absolutely mortified when he would get physically ill before he would go on stage, and people would ridicule him publicly and in articles, and he had to work to really, really develop that skill.
I don't know if I realized that about Steve Jobs. That actually makes me feel a little bit better about myself. Right. I'm not the only one who is totally, and I've done keynotes and presentations and stuff to large groups now. And it was, I'm exactly the same way. It did not come easily to me. And it's something that I've had to work at a lot. And I see the same stuff that you do about how important it is that kids develop these communication skills and how much employers are really looking for it. And so if those are such important skills, what are some things that we can do to encourage kids to be able to improve on those skills?
I think giving as many opportunities to speak in front of a class or in front of a group of people, but first really providing a safe environment for them to be honest about their fears, to talk to them about ways to overcome those fears, such as pausing for a moment and taking a breath, but not breathing into the mic if there's a microphone as you're exhaling, talking to them about how to channel the nervous energy, how to think of it as when you're about to get on a roller coaster and you have all of this energy and you channel it into your voice. We usually scream on a roller coaster. You're not going to scream at your audience, but don't have a weak voice. Have a very strong voice and focus on the message. Focus on the impact that you have, a gift that you're giving to your audience that can make an impact on them. And that sometimes helps them to rethink about that fear. One thing that I recently heard was that I thought was really, really profound and true is that when we are nervous about speaking in public, sometimes it's our own ego that gets in the way. And remembering why we're there, that really helps us to get past that. And it's not about us. It's about that message.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. I do have to say, though, that sometimes with all that nervous energy, I do wish I could just like step away from the microphone and say, hang on, just a second, and then just go, and just get it out, you know, but it sadly doesn't work that way.
Oh, man, so many times I've just wanted to be able to start over. I think I did a TED Talk at GCU a couple of months ago. And man, it was one of those talks where I'm like, oh, come on, can I just have one more shot at that? Because that's not what I wanted it to be.
Oh, I totally know what you're talking about. So real quickly, because I want to switch gears real quick to how, you know, some practical ways we can do this in the classroom. But I just wanted to ask you this real fast. Do you think that what we're talking about here applies best to certain subjects or certain grades, or can this apply across the board?
Across the board. You can incorporate public speaking into every subject area. It's it's something that's just an easy connection. And for some kids, they really realize that, oh, wow, looking at math and talking about math, I'm processing it differently. And it may actually help them to better understand some of those concepts just by using a different mode of communicating their ideas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And math was the one that I kind of had in the back of my mind. It's like those math classes are kind of a different animal in some way, which is great. But, sometimes, it's like I'll have math teachers at my presentations and they'll go, yeah, but how does this apply to a math classroom? And I think you're right. I think this does totally apply there too. Let's switch it into the classroom. Not that we haven't totally already, but what are some ways that we can actually take some of those things you were just talking about and apply them into real, honest-to-goodness lessons?
Well, one idea that I just have off the top of my head for a math class is having the students take a math problem and create a story about the math problem. We see that quite a bit when we have the problems that they have to solve, but actually having them be the ones that create this story connected to the numbers and then share that story out loud. It's something that's fun. It's creative and helps them to think outside of the box. I also think that just teaching kids how to tell stories, how to think about stories that were meaningful to them and tell those stories to someone else, or even coming up with their own stories. Sometimes our students are really close to their ideas and they don't realize that they have something that is powerful that may have an impact on someone else. So sometimes it may actually mean having them think about just something that happened recently in their life or something that stood out to them and talking about it and seeing what resonates with other people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. I love that. No, you're exactly right. It totally fits in with just about any class. This has been great. Rachel, can you tell our folks real quick where they can get in touch with you, where they can get more information about all this?
Yes, you can reach me at at RachelEDU on Instagram and Twitter. I am revamping my website right now. So if you go to martianclassroom.org, that is the best way to reach me. And then pretty soon, my new website will be rachelmann.co.
Great. And that's Rachel with an A-E at the end, right?
Yes. R-A-C-H-A-E-L.
Wonderful. All right. Hey, thank you so much for giving us some time today.
All right. Thanks, Matt. It was great chatting with you.
Thanks for listening to the Ditch That Textbook podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you love it, be sure to leave a review and rating on iTunes to help others find the show. Thanks for listening and happy ditching.